Saturday, cool sunshine with a high around 57. We're back to the low 60s on Sunday with a slight chance of a shower, and lower 70s are back on Monday with scattered showers. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Can you imagine a checking account which saves you money, even earns you money? At Prime South Bank, you'll find just that, a checking account with no monthly fees, which earns interest on larger deposits and can automatically put money into your savings account. Now that's an account worth switching for. Prime South Bank, with locations in Tallahassee, Wetumpka, and Montgomery. Member FDIC.
Alabama News Network. I'm Andrew James. Here's a look at today's headlines. The shooting death of a man in Montgomery is now being investigated as a homicide. Police say 30-year-old Nordriquis Caldwell was found dead from a gunshot wound on Rigby Street Sunday night. They say after opening a death investigation, it was determined his death was criminal. So far, no arrests have been made in the case. Montgomery County Probate Judge Stephen Reed has announced he will run for mayor of Montgomery. He was elected as probate judge in 2012, becoming the youngest and first African American to hold the position. And the Alabama Department of Wildlife and Fisheries is investigating after decapitated deer carcasses were found on County Road 3 in Autaugaville. They say this type of activity is usually linked to poaching and illegal night hunting. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
There. I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage. My team and I greatly appreciate your business. Because of your support, we are celebrating our fifth year of service. As a token of our gratitude, we are now offering others who serve our communities with a $500 lender credit towards closing costs. Active military veterans, first responders, teachers, and nurses, thank you for all you do. Call us now at Alabama Home Mortgage, 567-4223. Just the other day, we helped a fireman from Montgomery lower his monthly payments by lowering his interest rate and providing him with the cash out that he needed to pay off high-rate credit card debt. This could be you. What are you waiting for? Call Alabama Home Mortgage, 567-4223. Call me, Kim Williams, today at 567-4223. Or visit our website at alahomemortgage.com. That's alahomemortgage.com to see just how much money you could be saving with an Alabama Home Mortgage. NMLS 372-374, Equal Housing Lender.
Hello, everyone. Robbie Pelt with Capital City Roofing. If you think about it, your home is your biggest investment in life. Your roof covers your home, so why jeopardize your biggest investment on a roofer you don't know anything about when you can deal with a reputable roofing company like Capital City Roofing? We have an A-plus better business rating and the best manufacturers and workmanship warranties available. We do all residential and commercial roofing applications that are certified through the manufacturer to ensure you get the best material and workmanship money can buy. We also have your project in our best interest before and after construction has been done. Don't hesitate to call us if you have any roofing issues or questions. We will match any of our competitors' price and give you the same great workmanship warranty. We also give free estimates. Give us a call today and let us show you the difference. 277-3311. That's 277-3311. Or you can check us out on the web at www.capitalcityroofing.com. Capital City Roofing. We capitalize the roofing industry.
It's time for news and views from 9 till noon. Montgomery's conversational radio show. To join the conversation, call 272-9228. It's news and views from 9 till noon, only on News Talk 93.1 FM. Now, here's Baron and Jack.
Standing there.
All right, guys, welcome back in. It's 6 minutes after 9 o'clock. I think Dave Mowry's going to come by in just a little bit. I think he is. If not, I will keep you informed and entertained, I can assure you. This song, you say, but Baron, the song is so slow. Why are you opening to the song? It's February 7th. And this song is titled February 7 by the Avett Brothers. It's a fantastic song off the Carpenter album. So check it out. It's a fantastic song. All right, our number, 272-922. Why is someone calling me at six minutes after 9? I haven't even said anything yet. You calling to wish me a happy Avett Brothers Day? Who is this? Ah, that's what I thought. I haven't even said anything yet. Why would... Yeah, anyway. Our number, 272-9228, if you get in. I got a question. Here's who I want to call. If you are a Democrat, and you have not dressed up in racist garb, or you have not raped anyone, would you please call 272-9228? If you've not dressed up in racist garb and you've not raped anyone and you're a Democrat, please call 272-9228 because day by day I'm starting to wonder if such animals exist. Particularly in the state of Virginia, which is an important state, by the way. I mean, I'm going through my pieces right now that I've printed out for today. I can't tell you how many stories I have out of Virginia. It's an important state because it's one of these states that used to be fairly reliably red. It's a southern state. It was the capital of the South, despite what you first White House of the Confederacy, Jefferson Davis sworn in people think. The real capital of the South was Virginia. And it is amazing what's going on in Virginia. It's absolutely amazing what's going on. But I think it speaks to a broader climate in the Democratic Party. Who are the types of people who ascend to the top of the Democratic Party? And why? You know, to reach the pinnacle of politics in your 60s, rarely do you just come out of nowhere. Typically, you were, I don't want to say groomed. That has its own context. Typically, you were... brought up in the party apparatus. Typically, you were brought up in the party apparatus. Otherwise, you wouldn't be there. What was the party apparatus of the Democrat Party, particularly in Virginia, apparently, but really all over the place? What was the party apparatus of the Democrat Party in the 60s, 70s, and 80s? Apparently, it was blackface and raping women. I mean, apparently it was blackface and raping women. Because where's the rash of Republicans in blackface? The top three people in the line of succession in the Virginia Democratic Party, in Virginia elected politics, the top three people, the governor is being pressured because... he dressed up in blackface. The lieutenant governor is being pressured to resign because he has fairly convincing claims lodged against him of a woman whose story has been remarkably consistent for 15 years. And the attorney general, who, by the way, called on the governor. This is the greatest part of this story. The whole thing is chaos. But the best part of the story is the attorney general of Virginia was among the righteous virtue signalers calling on the governor to resign. And then he has to come out and admit he dressed up in blackface. So why was he calling on the governor to resign? And lost in all this? Lost in all the blackface drama? The governor of Virginia, the day or two before the blackface story broke, basically called for infanticide. He was talking about keeping a baby comfortable after birth until it could be put down, like a friggin' dog. I'll argue with you. We can have a discussion. We can have beers. We can be civil. You want to talk about abortion up to 22 weeks? I'll disagree with you if you take the other side. But I won't think you're a monster. I'll just think you're misguided. And I'll do my best to try with reason and logic and emotion to appeal to your humanity and try to get you to see things my way. You talk about collapsing the skulls or cutting the throats of babies after delivery, which is what he did. That's what he was talking about. after delivery. You've seen these newborn pictures. You've seen the movies. Wah, wah. You know, that's the moment he was talking about aborting the baby. After birth. No longer is it partial birth abortion. This is post-birth abortion. Dwight from the office might call it muck duck, murder. That's lost in all this because now the whole nation was fine. I mean, the whole Democratic left was fine when he was talking about buzzing the heads off of born children. The Democratic Party was like, check, he's pro-choice. But they go bananas when he wore a little kiwi brown shoe polish on his face. You tell me which is more egregious in the terms of humanity. Which is more egregious? And it's lost in it. The whole thing is lost. The whole thing is lost. I don't want to start a three-hour abortion discussion. That, frankly, it bores me. I don't want to start a three-hour blackface discussion. That, frankly, would bore me, too. But I'm just amused by what gets Democrats all fired up, all lathered up. Something that they apparently all did just 20 or 30 years ago. Or decapitating born children.
Oh, well, we're going to keep them comfortable while we kill them.
Well, thank you. How humane. How humane. That's what I did to my cat. I kept it comfortable while I killed it. My God, where have we come as a society? If you're a Democrat and you're not doing real soul searching right now, real soul searching, if you don't realize your entire party apparatus and leadership laughs at you, uses you, takes ridiculously untenable positions, rapes women, dress up in racist costumes, advocates for slaughtering newborns. Again, not preborns. With Ralph Northam, we were talking about post-birth abortion. Deliver the child, keep it comfortable. Those were his words. Keep it comfortable, and then kill it. This is your Democrat Party.
Well, Baron, Republicans are racist.
Oh? Where is the litany of Republicans in this blackface scandal? Where are they? I haven't seen them. I mean, maybe they're there. I haven't seen them. I know Joy Behar admitted to dressing up in blackface 3 years ago. Certainly no bastion of Republicanism. I don't know. Oh, I've even forgotten about Elizabeth Warren. That's your Democrat Party. I continue to say Donald Trump will win overwhelmingly. Overwhelmingly in 2020. It's not even going to be close. And if you want to know why, this is why. The Democratic Party is the party of insanity, lunacy. I can't make sense of it. Midtown Pizza Kitchen, they're generous sponsors of hour number one of this program every day. Get by there. Two locations, the High Point Shopping Center in Prattville and the Zelda Place location right here in beautiful Midtown Montgomery. Award-winning pizzas, they got great desserts, appetizers, and so much more. Midtown Pizza Kitchen, absolutely fantastic. Start with the cheese bread, finish with the cannoli. Whatever you get is going to be fine. Handmade, homemade Italian dressings, all their dressings, handmade, homemade right on site. You're going to love it. You're going to love Midtown Pizza Kitchen, home of the $9 lunch special, Wine Down Wednesday, and half-price beer on Sunday. We'll be back.
Local Talk, the River Region's most trusted voice for news and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Advertising drives the local economy. If you own a business, radio advertising allows you to target and control your message. Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help you grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting, local folks helping local business.
Hey guys, Baron Coleman here for my friend Riley Manning at Riley Manning Painting. When you've been the gold standard in the painting contracting business for 49 years like Riley Manning Painting, you learn a thing or two about customer satisfaction and getting the job right. That's why he offers the Riley Manning Painting Guarantee. You pay only after the job is complete and only after you are satisfied. Every Riley Manning job comes with that A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau and trained professional painters. Give Riley Manning a call today, 799-1284, 799-1284, or check him out online, Riley Manning Painting.
Hey, sweetheart. This Valentine's is as easy as 1, 2, 3 at Marguerite's. Surprise me with a vintage diamond necklace for $100. Maybe the diamond studs for $2. Or hug my neck with the $300 triple diamond cross necklace. You go, babe. 1, 2, 3 at Marguerite's. At Marguerite's, they make it. They really make it.
Marguerite's is open every day through Valentine's. Marguerite's is in the Pepper Tree Shopping Center on Vaughn Road.
At Jared, we know devotion isn't a once-a-year occasion. And once the flowers have wilted and the chocolates have disappeared, you'll still want them to know how much you care. Dare to give a gift that lasts this Valentine's Day with our incredible selection of jewelry. From delicate rose gold to bold black diamonds, Jared has hundreds of pieces under $299 and exclusive collections you won't find anywhere else. Shop online or find a store near you at jared.com and dare to be devoted.
Some job recruitment sites overload your inbox with resumes. Glassdoor knows not just any will do. From 62 million job seekers, Glassdoor only matches you with qualified candidates who have the skills and experience your small business needs to grow. In fact, Glassdoor hires are 30% more likely to stay with your company longer. And Glassdoor can help you find that perfect candidate in half the resumes. Go to glassdoor.com/hire. Glassdoor. Find the right fit for your business.
At 6 years old, Fairhope Brewery is just hitting its stride with brews made for the locals while keeping an eye on the national trends. Listen for more on the next What's Working with Cam Marston, Saturday at noon on News Talk 93.1.
Clap your hands, everybody, if you got what it takes. Because I'm Curtis Blow, and I want you to know that these are the breaks. Break to lose, but these here breaks will rock your shoes, and these are the breaks. Break it up, break it up, break it up.
All right, guys, 19 minutes after 9 o'clock. Great idea from a loyal listener to play a little Curtis Blow, considering that's who the Virginia AG was dressed up as when he was in blackface, the Democrat AG. I'm always amazed by these racist scandals that never involve Republicans. They involve Democrats.
I'm just impressed that the Attorney General of anywhere knows who Curtis Blow is. Not only knows who Curtis Blow is now, knew who he was in 1980. I mean, shouldn't we give him some, you know...
Give him some credit?
Yeah, I mean, that was probably like, he was probably like, you know, on the bleeding edge of cool back then, knowing, yeah. You know.
And let me say this, you made this point, and I agree with it. I don't think it's necessarily racist to dress up as Curtis Blow. But if we're going to hold people to that standard,
hold everybody
to the same standard.
Well, what I was saying,
don't let Democrats off just because they, you know,
correct,
supposedly like black people.
Well, what I was saying is that yesterday I
think we figured out by now Republicans actually do like black people and Democrats like using black people. That's my take. That's the only thing I can figure out.
I sent Barron a tweet, and it was a guy who said that, like, he randomly opened a yearbook from North Carolina in 1979, 1980, and just right there on one of the pages, there was a dude in blackface and two dudes in a hood pretending to hang him.
Yeah.
That's obviously racist. And everybody would know that. And the question, I think, is there a difference between obvious racism, you know, coming as an Al Jolson-type character with the white gloves and the paint smeared on and really pouring on the patois, is that different than coming to a party dressed as a famous black person? And I don't really know, but what I do know is that, Barron's got to rile y'all up, but that's his job, and he's good at it. But I think that everybody, let's say, over 35 or 40 is probably blackface adjacent. And what I mean by that is you were probably at a party at some point in your life where somebody came dressed as a person of color. Let's not even call it blackface. Did you ever go as an Indian?
Yeah.
Did anybody, you know, show up as Bruce Lee?
Yeah.
And like, and that, and the question is, where do you draw the line on that? Because I think that Republican, Democrat, Independent, Green Party, whatever, you're going to find that a lot of people were either dressed as those characters or at parties with people dressed as those characters. And, you know, and the thing is, the left always, they like to move the standard, right? It's not that you showed up. It's that people there were like that, and you didn't freak out and, you know, blow your entire life up over somebody in a weird costume. Because that's what you're supposed to do. Like,
yeah.
You know, if somebody shows up in an inappropriate costume, you have to beat them up and get in a fight and then never talk to those people again, right? That's what you're supposed to do.
Well,
have a march.
Or immediately leave so that nobody can take a picture of
but
you.
But also be huffy. You have to be huffy.
Yeah,
you can't just leave.
And if there's a picture of you there, it has to be you
confronting the person.
Heading to the door.
Right, or confronting the person.
I mean, it but if we're going to have this standard, everyone needs to be held to the same standard.
Correct.
So Sarah Silverman fired off Comedy Central. Comedy Central boycotted. Joy Behar fired off The View. The View boycotted for having them on when they knew these things took place. Everybody needs to be held to the same standard. Or we go back to a time where we admit, you know what? Sometimes we used to do insensitive things that we now recognize are wrong.
You ever seen the original Breakfast at Tiffany's?
Yeah.
You know who plays the Chinese
Mickey
character?
Rourke?
Yeah, Mickey Rourke. he's a dude who, in the book and in the movie, is Chinese.
Yeah.
And he's painted up and, like, I mean, they put tape on his eyes.
He's talking like that. He's talking like
that. Hello! And, like, okay.
I forgot about that.
That's one of my favorite movies. Great movie. It's a great book.
It's one of my favorite movies.
It's super cringeworthy, though, just to even watch that, just to watch him in that.
Yeah.
You can tell now. You're like, ooh, bad look. Ooh,
yeah, it was
bad
a terrible look.
You know? And that's the question that we all have to ask is, like, what is the line? Because I can guarantee you that that we could comb the annals of annuals for every politician in Alabama, and you'll probably find something that you don't want to see.
But come up with the line.
And Georgia. And
come up with the
Washington
line,
State. Come and
up
California.
With, come up with the line and apply it equally and fairly across the board.
Right.
That's my thing. If we're going to take down the governor of Virginia, we take down Joy Behar, we take down Sarah Silverman, we take down the attorney general of Virginia, we take down everybody.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to say, as I think probably should be said, if you were just dressing up as Curtis Blow or Michael Jackson, you know,
weren't those people popular?
They were popular, and if you were white and wanted to dress up like them, you might have to shade your skin a little bit to do it. You weren't dressing up as them to make fun of them. You idolized them.
Correct.
You thought they were fantastic. You wanted to be like them.
Correct.
If you were racist, you would not want to be like Michael Jackson or Curtis Blow. You know, that's there are two types of costumes: one that makes fun of people, and one that idolizes.
The difference
people.
Between laughing with and laughing at,
yes,
or as they say, punching down.
If you're in a costume like the one you described in the yearbook, or the one that's in Northam's yearbook, which you're standing there with the Klan.
Well, and here's the thing: the Northam thing, okay, like that is a representation of, like, it's a collage of, hey, you know what? This is what I was like in med school. So I had a Corvette, and I worked hard, and then I also went to a party either in blackface or in a Klan hood. I'm not sure which one.
I did it enough.
You know,
I did it enough that my nickname, and I'm not going to say it on air.
Right.
Was man. rhymes with loon.
The low-key weirdest part of that entire press conference was just straight up like, oh, you know.
That's what
they call me. I don't know why. Oh, you don't?
You must have had a habit of dressing up in blackface.
I mean, it's just insane because one of them is obviously, and I will say this, though, that the that I think that there's a little bit of nuance to it already because, and it probably has to do with the way that the way that each of them has been sort of compromised, as we say, but the Herring, the AG, went and met with their black caucus and was like, yo, I did this. Blah, blah, blah. And they were like, this might be a little bit of a different case.
Yeah.
Even their, you know,
well, again,
left of center.
Find the standard. If the standard is, were you making fun of black people, then apply it equally.
Right.
If the standard, and frankly, Sarah Silverman was.
Correct.
If the standard is you dressed up in blackface at all, then apply it equally. I don't care what it was. You know why? Because I never dressed up in blackface.
Me either.
You're never going to find a picture. I've never seen it. I've never been at a party where it happened. You're not going to find a picture of me somewhere. It was a different age. You know,
right.
I came of age in the 90s when that moment had sort of passed. And you know what's interesting about it is rap had gone more mainstream by the time you and I grew up. I mean, I graduated, or I left high school in 97.
Yeah. And I grew to 95.
Okay, so rap had gone mainstream. This was after the Chronic. This was after Snoop Dogg. This was Master P. Rap had gone totally middle-class, white, mainstream.
Yeah, rap was pop music. It was pop. At that point, and it still is.
And the fact that none of our friends thought, you know what I'm going to dress up as? Snoop Dogg. Which would have been a great character. You know? Yeah. It would have been a great character. And nobody thought to do it. So I think we just grew up in a totally different era. Let's take some phone calls. 272-9228. Ray Bowles.
Hey, guys. I wanted to make a point on the whole abortion thing and Democrats. So, in my view, and I could be wrong because my views are never right, but most people that get abortions, aren't they Democrats?
You'd be surprised.
But, so, they're killing off their base, and is that why they want the open borders? Because they kill off 11 million of their base? They need 11 million to make up for it?
My guess is more Democrats than Republicans get abortions, but I don't think you could say all abortions are Republicans, or even the overwhelming vast majority are Democrats. There are a whole lot of middle-class white Republicans marching their daughters into abortion clinics on a daily basis because they're against abortion, but you know what they're against more? Scandal in their own family. And they want their daughter to get the big state university education and get the job at Regions Bank, and they know that's probably not going to happen if she's toting around a 2-year-old at age 18.
Yeah, I know. I just don't get it. I got my first grandbaby on the way in 6 weeks, and I couldn't fathom marching one of my daughters into an abortion clinic because we were embarrassed.
Well, it happens every day, my friend.
Jesus, one day
happens every single day.
Explain that.
All right, appreciate it. I do appreciate the call. It's an excellent point. Thank you. 272-9228, Bud.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
You know, Rush Limbaugh says, let's illustrate absurdity by being absurd.
Okay.
Should we ban Halloween?
In certain segments, yeah. I mean, that's and I think that's where it's headed with this trunk-or-treat trend and changing the dates that you can trick-or-treat out there and putting restrictions on the hours. When I was a kid, Halloween was a free-for-all. I mean, there were kids and people everywhere on Halloween. You go out now, there's a few people here and there, but by and large, I mean, I don't think we had 10 people knock on our door on Halloween, and I live in a neighborhood full of 150 children.
Well, here's my point. Can you go into Party City or Walmart or any other place and not find a Native American, I'm sorry, an Elizabeth Warren costume?
I'm sorry?
He's saying, you know, like I said before, like, you know, they have costumes for Native, you know, people dressing up as an Indian or Native American.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure.
And that's my point. The whole idea behind Halloween is let's be somebody else that we're not. Let's have fun. Let's poke fun at ethnicity.
I don't think it's poking fun. I mean, it's a chance to dress up in a costume. If you're going to be, I mean... So much of daily life is not costumed. So if you're, I mean, you know, people wear, some people wear uniforms to work, some people, you know, police officers or firemen. So that's not something everybody experiences. So when you want to dress up, you dress up like a fireman or a policeman. Other things you've seen, the popular commercials, popular movies that have a distinctive character. People dress up like that because it's recognizable, it's different, it's fun. I don't think most people who dress up are making fun of somebody. There certainly are some, but I think it's the overwhelming minority of people who dress up for Halloween or for a party who are there to make fun of somebody. I think most people either do it because they really look up to the person they're dressing up as, or they just thought it would be a cute character or an interesting, or they had the materials on hand to make it. I mean, that's half the battle when you have kids. I mean, do we have enough stuff on hand to create this costume?
Correct.
But what about the adults that dress up like that?
And if you're an adult and you dress up, stop. I mean, Halloween is for children. If you're over the age of 13, and that includes 30 to 50-year-olds, stop. It's part of this infantilization of adulthood, where 35-year-olds are sitting around playing video games and
can't open a bank account.
They can't get along in life on their own. They're still dressing. They're going out to get drunk at bars, you know, six nights a week, and they can't hold a job. And it's this infantilization of adults. Stop dressing up in going to costume parties.
If you want to dress up a little bit
and wander around the neighborhood with your kids because you think that's fun, I don't object. But if you're going to an adult themed Halloween party,
Stop.
Well, let me say this. I used to be a manager at Party City. 70% of the costumes that I sold for Halloween were adult.
Yeah. Yeah. That's.
And let me tell you something. They dressed as much more than policemen, firemen. It was crazy out there. And my point is, and don't get me wrong, black, or even adults during the 90s, 2010s, they still wear blackface.
Yeah.
It's not racist in nature.
I don't think it is. I think there's a distinction. I think if you are making fun of someone's race because of their race, you're a awful human being, and don't dress up as that, and certainly don't advertise the fact that you think that way. But don't do it. Don't do it. If you're dressing up because you idolize, you know, if you want to be Michael Jackson because you idolize Michael Jackson, and he is. I think he's the greatest single performer of all time in pop music. Period. End of story. To hell with Mariah Carey. To hell with any other pop musician. No offense to Joey, but Prince and everybody else. Michael Jackson is the undisputed king, and he didn't do the things they said he did with kids. That was all a distraction to try to get his money and try to tear him down. But he is the king, the absolute king. He's the greatest. And if you want to dress up like that, and you want to do early Mike, and maybe you got another friend who wants to do late Mike, and you're going to show the difference, and you're going to have fun with it, but you're doing it because you love Mike, then I'm all for it. I wouldn't do it now, not in this age.
Tell me about it.
But I'm all for it. But I can't, bud, because it's my show, and I can't give one person like 20 uninterrupted minutes. Red Top.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
This stuff is almost starting to give me a headache. You know, it's amazing that so many of these people doing blackface, which I personally, like you, have never seen in my life.
I've never seen it.
I thought that was gone 100 years ago. But apparently all the law students seem to be extremely prejudiced in Virginia. And, you know, nobody in Alabama would dare to do anything like that. And I've never seen it. So these people are beyond stupid. And I'm glad that they're beyond stupid because they need to go. And, you know, I don't get what the big deal is. And I'm sorry you feel that way about costumes, because I'm a musician, and some of the best gigs I ever played were adult costume parties. Quit sounding like an old fart.
I love to have some fun. I love to have some fun. And if everybody would act like an adult and then occasionally let their hair down and go to an adult-themed costume party, then I'm all for that. But unfortunately...
Oh, the hell with that, man.
Unfortunately, a lot of the people who populate these adult-themed costume parties are the people who can't act like an adult on a daily basis. And that's what bothers me.
I see
what I'm saying? I mean,
I guess so.
You're a hardworking man with a job, owns a business, and has a great reputation in town. So if you want to dress up in a costume, I don't care. But a lot of the people I know are 33, 35, 37 years old. They live like they still are in college or in high school. And then, you know, they let loose for Halloween. I'm like, well, what the hell? You're not like, hey, this is just another day to you. You know, you're not a real adult.
That's true. Take care, fellas.
All right. 272-9228 if you want to get in. 272-9228. That's probably a little harsh. Eastbrook Flea Market and Antique Mall, not harsh. And a great place to find costumes, frankly. If you want to go that route, kids, adults, great dress-up clothes. They've got vinyl record collections, antique vinyl record collections. They've got furniture, dishes, everything you could possibly imagine. Quality stuff, real wood stuff, the way it was meant to be done. Tables that weigh 150 pounds when you pick them up because they're solid wood. Get by Eastbrook Flea Market Antique Mall. Say hey to the folks while you're in there. Say hey to your folks while you're in there. That's a great place to go. A truly, truly fantastic place. Knock on Miss Dot's door, poke your head in there and tell her you said, hey, heard about it on the radio. And then go in there and tell me shopping through those three floors, 200 vendors, 60,000 square feet, isn't about the most fun you can have in Montgomery. It's like going to Opryland. No, that doesn't even exist anymore. It's like going to Six Flags. It's fantastic. It's a great day. It's a great time. Get by Eastbrook Flea Market Antique Mall on Coliseum Boulevard just off Atlanta Highway.
He may not know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're
you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings, 6 till 9, and afternoons, 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Treat your Valentine to an authentic taste of the Mediterranean at Mr. Gus. Enjoy their chef special lovers menu, Valentine's evening from 4:30 until closing. Special dishes created just for Valentine's Day. Or choose from your favorite of their signature dishes. Come and enjoy a romantic evening at Montgomery's best unkept secret. Mr. Gus on the corner of Atlanta Highway and Bell Road.
Mamma mia, you'll agree, come and bring the family. Mr. Gus, taste of the Mediterranean.
Congratulations, River Region. We are living longer. This is Attorney Sarge Grubbs inviting you to the Life and Legacy Series presented by the American Council for Asset Protection and Education Society. These classes are February 12th, February 19th, February 21st, and February 28th. Come learn how to not outlive your retirement. Also, if you're downsizing, whether it's to a nursing home, an assisted living, or just a smaller house, there'll be a speaker there providing tips and tricks on organizing and downsizing. And then I will be teaching you how to protect your life savings and providing strategies that can help you pay for long-term care and save your assets. Again, it's the Life and Legacy Series, February 12th, 19th, 21st, and 28th. Presented by the American Council for Asset Protection. Call 649-4911. Call 649-4911. That's 649-4911.
Hi, this is Carl Schmidt, naturopath and owner of The Herb Shop. Listen every Saturday at 11 a.m. to Winning Wellness and learn from experts in different fields of science and technology how nutritional supplements can help you. That's every Saturday at 11 a.m.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Trucking, a family-owned company with competitive pay and great benefits. Good home time and new equipment arriving daily. Be a part of the family. Give Wiley Sanders a call at 855-777-9785.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Big weather changes right around the corner, kind of a reality check, if you will. But for today, a good bit of sunshine, unusually warm for February. If we get to 82, we'll break the old record of 81. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Showers move in late tonight and early in the day Friday as a cold front sweeps through the state. Windy and colder tomorrow. Temperatures falling through the 50s, close to 51 by sunset. And the overnight low temperature should drop to about 37. Saturday, cool sunshine with a high around 57. We're back to the low 60s on Sunday with a slight chance of a shower, and lower 70s are back on Monday with scattered showers. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Heirloom Jewelers, specializing in antique and estate jewelry, diamonds, high-end watches, and more. Buy, sell, and trade with Heirloom Jewelers on Vaughn Road, and find Heirloom Jewelers on Facebook.
Sam McClure, he's the lawyer over at the adoptionfirm.com.
We can't go on.
That's it. Actually, hang on just a second.
We're suspicious.
Elvis is singing.
And we can build.
Man had dozens of number one hits. Dozens of number one hits. But he's not the best-selling artist to hail from Memphis. You know who is? The best-selling act to ever hail from Memphis? 3-6 Mafia.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
The 3-6 Mafia's collected works outsold Elvis.
Wow.
And I myself owned like 25.
Yeah.
That's funny to me.
That's nuts.
Yeah. All right.
Very on brand for Memphis, though.
Yeah. 272922. I love Memphis. It's a cool town. Our number, 272922. 20 minutes till the top of the hour. All right. My friend Sam McClure. Over at the Adoption Firm. TheAdoptionFirm.com. Jump on that website. TheAdoptionFirm.com. Jump on that website or call him. 546-2009. 546-2009. Here's why I say it. If you are in the process of adoption, or if you think maybe one day you want to entertain the option of adoption, if you don't know exactly what it entails and you need to, you know, you're a young family and you think, do we adopt? Do we have our own children? Do we add children, our own children, and adopt? Do we foster? Do we do infant adoption? Do we adopt out of the foster care system? Do we do foreign adoption? Sam McClure can answer all those questions and more. And he helps keep the process affordable, quick. As quick as can be, as affordable as can be, and easy and painless as can be. Call Sam McClure, 546-2009. He's the adoption lawyer, 546-2009, theadoptionfirm.com.
A representation is made that the quality of legal services performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
And I just want you guys to say, I don't believe anything J. Scott just said. Because when I tell you Sam McClure is the best, he is. Our number 272-9228, David L. Mowry.
That's me.
Sits next to us each and every Thursday up here on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV. Greg?
Hey, good morning. How y'all?
Doing good.
I remember years ago I was in college.
Hold on. Are you on speakerphone or Bluetooth?
I'm not on Bluetooth. I'm not on speakerphone.
You're a little better there. Just talking to the mic or talking to the receiver.
Yeah, and we can
just actually, let me do this. Put the phone to your ear and talk past the receiver. Yeah. A lot of people talk into it, and then the sound dampener kills the call.
Yeah, you're just a little...
Okay, I'm doing that.
Okay, just hold it up to your phone like you would an old-fashioned phone and just talk like you're supposed to.
I am.
Okay.
Yeah, we dressed up as the two Czechoslovakian brothers.
Okay.
And that was funny then.
And who are the Czechoslovakian
The wild and crazy guys?
The wild and crazy guys.
Yeah.
That begs the question, is that okay now? Because it seems funny now, and I don't think anyone would be upset about it. So is it skin color, or is it culture, or is it race? I think
sort of like one of those things where that's a little bit of whataboutism, but I think it gets to the point that Barron's saying is that there has to be a standard, okay? And what is a standard? Is a standard that you can't dress up as anybody from any other ethnicity?
Or nationality, right. Accent?
Yeah.
Or
what if I wanted to go as Rafael Nadal?
Right, yeah.
I mean, I'm not Spanish.
Right.
Ain't no part of me Spanish.
Right.
Not one.
Right.
But you're almost as tall as he is.
Yeah.
He's like 6'6".
Yeah, I mean, better looking, you know, but...
Well, you're better looking.
What about Federer? You know, I mean, he's Swiss. I'm not Swiss.
Right, yeah.
But then I could go as any Italian.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean,
it's dumb.
Here's the thing, though, I do want to point out one thing, though. In this country, by and large, outside of about a decade of mistreatment for Irish and about a decade of mistreatment for Italians, or a couple decades of mistreatment for Italians, white people have largely gotten a pass. The same cannot be said for minorities, whether they're Koreans or Chinese or Black or Hispanics or. Or others. And so it's not quite the same, you dressing up as two wild and crazy guys. Because Czechoslovakians, had they immigrated to America and dropped their accent within a generation, their kids would have been treated just like any other white American. Whereas Blacks didn't have that same fair shake, and in some cases still don't. I mean, just being honest, being, you know, recognizing reality. And so it's an interesting thought discussion. I'm glad our country's sort of facing the blackface question because, again, we need to come up with a standard. Is the standard, if you're playing blackface in a way that lifts up the black community or lifts up a particular black American or foreigner, it doesn't matter, it doesn't have to be an American, but if it lifts up that person, if it's I love Mike, and I want to be like Mike, so I'm going to dress up in a 23 jersey and carry a basketball around. If you're idolizing that person, is that treated differently than tearing down that person? Obviously, I don't think anybody in this country should have ever dressed up as a black person being hung or hanged by a Klansman. I don't think it's funny. I don't think anybody probably ever thought it was truly funny. I think even at the party where they did it, a lot of people were probably like, "Ee,
yeah,
that's
like,
poor
come
taste."
On, yeah, that's,
yeah,
that's,
I mean,
that's a little outre.
Even in the 70s, I don't think that. So, is that the standard, or are we just going to say blanket no dressing up in blackface at all? The wild and crazy guys thing again, because I think that's different. But again, it needs to be addressed.
But that's the thing, right?
It needs
exactly.
to be addressed. But I think it's different because Czechoslovakians generally haven't had the run of it here in this country. That now Germans did for a period of time in the 40s and 50s. You know, post.
I wonder why.
I had a professor that was German from that era, And he said he came over here after World War II. He was like 10 years old. He spoke German. He had a huge, thick German accent. He looked German, frankly. And he said that the kids would tease him and say, how do you tie your shoes? And he would say, oh, well, I do it this way. They say, no, you tie them in Nazis. Yeah, I mean, but, you know, it's funny to you in 2019, not funny to him in 1955.
Right.
You know,
right.
Not funny to him in 1955. I got to run, Greg. Thanks. 2729228. Who is this?
Hey, it's
Randy. What's up?
Man, I just want to say, there is a distinction, because I've been doing a lot of studying, and this blackface thing, it seems like when something back, even when they had them TV shows, people were up on the stage, but there wasn't no sound, but you could still watch it, and they was imitating. It was always the blackface painted up white dude. They were making poking fun. There ain't no doubt about it.
Yeah, you're talking about Al Jolson, basically.
There's a distinct difference in between dressing up as an Indian and dressing up as a blackface, I think. Because, I mean, if you just go back watching in the history, didn't nobody, I mean, it might have faked the Indian getting shot by a cowboy, but it wasn't near like him coming out there dancing and toting a tray and falling down. I mean, just... It was always the poke fun, and I think, and then when you stand beside a Klansman, and you ain't trying to be nobody else. I just don't think you can just wipe on black paint on your face and say you're trying to be somebody else. Now, if you had your hair did different, or if there's a mask on your face, and it was shaped into Chuck Berry's face, I mean, yeah, you can claim that, but this coating on that black shoe polish, that was definitely a distinct difference in the black face and then... trying to imitate a different, you know what I mean?
I typically agree.
Yeah,
I typically agree.
I mean, that was my take on it from the beginning.
All right, Randall, we got to run. I got to run to a break. I appreciate it. 272-9228 is the number if you want to get in. 272-9228. Speaking of someone in blackface, Darius Rucker, Hootie and the Blowfish. Well, he went country. I mean, I'm totally kidding. I love Hootie.
Easy with that talk.
I'm a big fan of Hootie. We'll be back. It's Dave Mowry, Baron Coleman, 48 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Like a wave crashing into the shore, you wash away my dreams. Time, why you walk away? Like a friend with somewhere to go, you left me crying. Can you teach me about tomorrow?
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
A1 Plumbing.
Listen, I need a plumber over here right now.
Let's see. We could get to that in about 3 weeks.
3 weeks?
Uh-huh.
Look, I was installing a new toilet and the water line broke. Now I'm standing in about 3 feet of water and it's still rising fast.
Uh-huh.
But look, I'll give you $50 extra if you can send someone right now.
Maybe 2 weeks.
Okay, $100, but you need to get here right now.
All right, keep your shirt on. What's that address?
I'm at 3301 Center Avenue at the Boston Airport.
Must have changed his mind.
Whether your problem is big or small, Cole Plumbing can fix it right, usually the first time, and as economically as possible. With our experienced and background-checked employees, we take pride in knowing that we are one of the most trusted companies in the area. When there is trouble with your bowl, call on Cole, 279-8919, or go to coleplumbing.com.
At Jared, we know devotion isn't a once-a-year occasion. And once the flowers have wilted and the chocolates have disappeared, you'll still want them to know how much you care. Dare to give a gift that lasts this Valentine's Day with our incredible selection of jewelry. From delicate rose gold to bold black diamonds, Jared has hundreds of pieces under $299 and exclusive collections you won't find anywhere else. Shop online or find a store near you at jared.com and dare to be devoted.
Some job recruitment sites overload your inbox with resumes. Glassdoor knows not just any will do. From 62 million job seekers, Glassdoor only matches you with qualified candidates who have the skills and experience your small business needs to grow. In fact, Glassdoor hires are 30% more likely to stay with your company longer. And Glassdoor can help you find that perfect candidate in half the resumes. Go to glassdoor.com/hire. Glassdoor. Find the right fit for your business.
The River Region's News Talk Station. News Talk 93.1, WACV. News Talk 93.1.
All right, guys, welcome back in. Dave Mallory, Baron Coleman here with you on a Thursday, 9 minutes to the top of the hour. My friends Teresa, Amber, Jess over at 4 Healthy Pets, they are absolutely dynamite. You got to get by 4 Healthy Pets. They're on the Atlanta Highway just up the hill from Faulkner University. When you're in there, you'll find what I found and what everybody else in town has found. These guys know what they're doing. They just know what they're doing. When they tell you something's in a product, it's in there. If they tell you it's not in there, it's not in there. A lot of these big-name pet food, and it's surprisingly affordable. My dog, I mean, you know, you pay a couple extra bucks for a bag of food, but you know where the protein's sourced. You know it's not floor sweepings from China. So many of you guys have dog after dog after dog, and by the time the dog's 5, 4, 5, 6 years old, like, I don't know why my dogs always have these health problems. Well, you feed it floor sweepings from China. Stop. Go get some premium vittles. Go get some real food, real canned food, not that garbage stuff you saw advertised on television. Go to 4 Healthy Pets. Check it out. You're going to love it. From Farmina, Open Range, Open whatever it's called. This is some really, really good stuff. Really high-quality foods, and you're going to absolutely, absolutely love it. 4 Healthy Pets, you can check them out online if you have any questions about hours. If you want to call them, the phone number's on there. 4HealthyPetsOnline.com. 4HealthyPetsOnline.com. John, you're on the air.
Hey, Baron, how you doing, man?
Doing well.
All right. Hey, I do agree there is a distinction in the right and wrong of it. But I think that here within the last 20 years or so that people are not letting the smallest things that don't matter roll off like it used to, because I'm in your age group. I'm about the same age as you, and I mean, and some of the things that I used to watch on TV go back before my time, but I remember when we could go back when everybody could insult everybody on a funny basis, you know, and everybody laughed it off, you know. And I'll go back with films like, you know, Blazing Saddles and
right.
things like that, when everybody insulted everybody and we laughed it off because it's, you know, I believe things like that actually then brought us closer together.
Well,
than,
but you got to understand.
The whiny babies we have now.
Blazing Saddles made fun of racism. It wasn't making fun of races. It was making fun of
right,
racism.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. That's not what Governor Northam was doing. I mean, that's not what he was doing. I do appreciate your call, though, John. 272-9228. Rob.
Yes, I'm here.
Well, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just want to call and reference the caller before the last. The last caller made a good point, but speaking as a Native American, I don't see that. You know, I find it just as offensive for people to portray Native Americans dancing around. You know, have been an active member of my tribe. I've danced powwows all over the state and educated the youth about what Native Americans went through, but my point is my ancestors were enslaved long before black people. You know, they were already here, and then when the colonials got here, they enslaved everybody that was already here. But we don't raise such a big stink about it. And I mean, sure, it's offensive to have any culture, you know, stereotyped or, you know, parodied or what have you. But I just can't see that there being any difference.
That's what we call intersectionality, Dave.
He's trying to out
be oppressed another group. Rob, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what happened. I wasn't here. Nobody else was here. I'm sorry it happened. It's terrible. I myself am a huge fan, particularly the Plains and Southwest Indians, but the Eastern Indians are fantastic as well.
Why are you fetishizing them, though, saying that you're a fan?
I'm a huge fan. Thank you for your call, Rob. I can't get enough of the stories. I love the culture. I love the idea. I mean, when you read the stories about a raid that originates in Nebraska, where nothing is written down, Mm-hmm. They didn't have a way to write it down, how to get there and back. A raid that started in Nebraska goes down to the coast of Mexico, not Texas, like modern-day Mexico, and then back to Nebraska, and they don't miss a beat, and it takes the exact same amount of time, and everybody makes it, and everybody gets down there and back, and they come back with all this booty. It's quite literally booty in some cases. There is something about that culture. Now, there was a lot of savagery about it, too. Don't get me wrong. But
easy with that talk.
Well,
all right?
I mean,
you know.
There was savagery among the people who...
Let's not perpetuate stereotypes, Baron.
There was savagery among the people who went after them, too.
First you're fetishizing them. You know, now you're saying they were savages.
Dave is the closet liberal.
Dave's not the closet nothing.
But I love it. I mean, go read stories about the Comanches and the Navajo and the Sioux and the Crow. And,
I mean,
it's incredible what they did. It's
When I was a kid... We lived at Fort Riley, Kansas. That's where Custer was based out of.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine, so they have the Custer House.
Didn't work out well.
Well, they have the Custer House, which is a museum.
Yeah.
But that's not the house that he lived in. He actually lived in another house, but they set this other house as a museum because it was near it, but not as desirable an area. Mm. So a friend of mine actually lived in Custer's house.
Yeah.
In the one that he actually lived in.
No, really? Yeah, that's amazing.
And it's all super fascinating. I mean,
Read the stories about the trappers and the guides that went out. Read some of those stories and how they interacted with the Indians. And they had friendly Indians and they had unfriendly Indians.
And they knew which areas. Yeah, I mean, it's just the whole thing is crazy.
Carolyn.
Hey, guys. In the 60s, our sons belonged to a group called the Indian Guides.
Mm-hmm.
It was sponsored by the YMCA in St. Louis. And the idea was father-son bonding before they got into the Cub Scouts. They were 7. And they would meet every week and they would put on war paint. They had the headdress, and as projects, we would make the, with father and son, would make the vest. They made hatchets. They studied Indian culture, and they'd go around, wah, 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 you know, all that jazz. And I thought it was great. I didn't see anything wrong with it at all. And we were talking about it the other day, and the guys got a lot out of it because they got father, and they picked their own name, Running Bear and this and that. And it was only for a year until they got into the Cubs. I don't know if it exists still today, but it was called the Indian Guide, sponsored by the Y.
I'm going to go ahead out on a limb and say it does not.
I probably not.
I'm going to say it does not, but I do appreciate your call. It's an excellent walk down the memory lane for some in the area, I'm sure. Will.
Hey, gentlemen, how y'all doing?
Doing well, Will.
Just a few things. Have you ever seen that movie, Revenant? That's a good movie. It's a good
I've never seen it. Have you seen it?
I don't know.
Yeah. The Revenant? Never seen it.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
I'm not going to lie to you. I probably won't check it out.
Yeah, it's really good.
I don't watch a lot of movies. That's not my thing. Go ahead.
He played in, the guy that played in the movie about the ship that sank, he's the main actor in it.
Okay.
Native Americans.
I hope you said the ship with a P that
sank. That's what he said,
I'm just making sure.
Native Americans.
Pass me. All right, go ahead.
You know, Native Americans, they don't claim a lot of black folks that are Native Americans. They have a lot of racism in their own against black folks, to be honest, because a lot of black folks, Native Americans, mixed back in those days, the Creek Indians especially, and they don't even claim the black people that try to claim their Indian heritage.
Again, if you read the stories, and I encourage you guys to read it, there's some really, really good, particularly since the 1960s and 70s, some fantastic biographies and nonfiction accounts using primary sources and interviews with people at the time that survived. If you read them, all of the tribes mixed. There was no such thing as a pure Comanche or a pure Crow or a pure Navajo. Look at the Seminole tribe. Go read some books on the Seminole tribe. They wasn't pure nothing. I mean, they had whites, blacks, the Choctaw, same thing. They had whites, blacks, Indians from various tribes and traditions. Will, the reality is, my friend, we're all brothers and sisters. You know that's true.
Hey, I like those Dean Martin rules. But look, the last thing.
Make it quick. We got 20 seconds.
I go to New Orleans every Fat